Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Caitlin Buss.
I'm Kelly Cobb.
Yes, we are your hosts today. So a lot going on. Actually, we were kind of saying it's actually quiet. There's not a ton going on. So that's kind of interesting, except for a lot of the political stuff we were talking about earlier. But something that kind of continues to exist somewhat in the background here of the education landscape in Michigan. And of course, the State Board of Education picks, particular times to make their behavior known and take their action. But
behavior,
that I reported on, it was about a year ago, I think. So after the Big Beautiful Bill passed, this federal program was created to give tax credits up to about $1,700 per individual donor, a federal tax credit that could be given in exchange for a donation to an organization in Michigan, should Michigan opt in, that would allow parents, families, students to expand their educational options, whether it's public, private, homeschooling. You know, it could be tutoring, it could be transportation, it could be a number of things. It gives them more money. The state has not opted in yet. More than half the states already have. And it's been very quiet. Republican candidates have campaigned that they would opt into this program, but Whitmer has been completely silent on it. So in the background, the State Board of Education took up or is about to take up a proposal completely opposing this. To join us and talk about this is someone I've worked with and really respect, Catherine Bussard. She also shares somewhat of my name, so I feel like we have a similarity. But she's the executive director and chief operating officer at Salt and Light Global. Catherine, are you there?
I am. Good to be with you today.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So first, if you could explain just quickly what Salt and Light Global does, but then take us into, you know, your work on this. You just had a piece today in the Detroit News on the State Board of Education's proposal. So fill us in.
Sure. So at Salt and Light Global, we really work to defend first liberties, and among those, certainly religious liberty, parental rights, and many other things, and just advocate for the cause of good governance so that future generations can know freedom and use that to advance both the gospel and, again, continue this thing that we love in America of self-government. And so we work really hard to preserve that. And in that article today, I really tried to look at that proposal from the State Board of Education and kind of debunk a couple misnomers that they're purporting about our state constitution, saying, oh, Michigan can't opt in. That's really not true at all. Mm-hmm. And then also come back and look at this through the constitutional lens of parental rights. It's important that government allows parents and respects the right of parents to direct and control the upbringing of their children. It really is not the place of government to say, oh, the state is better equipped to make decisions for your child than you are. Mm-hmm. And that's really the attitude that we're finding from the State Board of Education and so many in Lansing when it comes to policies like this. I'll hand it back to you there.
Yeah. No, they've really tried to create it as a binary choice. So walk us through, you know, in your understanding, is it, you know, the myth perhaps that they're taking public dollars or taking from the school aid fund and redistributing that to private schools or homeschools. Walk us through that a little bit.
So in a nutshell, what the One Beautiful Bill Act does is that it allows private individuals to donate to private nonprofit scholarship groups that have been vetted by the state government. We know they're licensed. We know they're legit. And
that's really all the state has to do with it is kind of get that going, right?
Exactly. Just like, you know, a church or a food pantry or any other nonprofit is licensed by the government and says, okay, we know you're official. When you donate to them, you can get a tax write-off for it. Well, this does that, and it allows a unique one-to-one tax write-off, so up to $1,700, like you said, per individual. However much an individual donates, you can deduct that amount off your federal taxes. And it's a federal law. And of course, federal law has supremacy over state law. And it's something that exists. It's out there. Other states, other students across the nation get to take advantage of this. Mm-hmm. And in Michigan, we have this clause in our constitution. It's Article 8, Section 2. And basically, it prohibits public funding from being used to fund private education.
Right.
But what the Big Beautiful Bill does is that it allows private funding, private donations, mm-hmm. to go to private charities to fund private choices. And those private choices, I mean, you could use these for anything. You could say, you know what, I want a school choice to the public school the next district over, but because of my work schedule, I can't drive my kid there. Mm-hmm. So you could obtain affordable transportation through one of these scholarships to a different public school.
Right.
You could say my child that is in public school is dyslexic. They need some, you know, extra tutoring at the Dyslexia Institute, and I'm going to ask for a scholarship to pay for that, mm-hmm. and keep your kid in public school. Or you could use it to fund, you know, homeschooling, private school. You could use it to fund, you know, maybe you have a public school student that's doing advanced coursework and they need some special technology tools. You could do anything with this, but what it does is it simply empowers parents using private dollars. And there's a huge difference because our state allows private dollars to be donated for any legitimate private cause. Mm-hmm. We only have this prohibition on education, right. when it comes to public dollars, and these are not public dollars.
Right. It's curious. I mean, and you, I know your organization has also followed, you know, other things the state board has done recently. Mm-hmm. We both were part of kind of the health education standards. What did you think about how this is being done? And I had heard that there may be changes to the proposal that's being, you know, circulating right now. What do you think is coming?
It's tough to say. I think the bigger point that concerns me is from the health standards and interweaving this so that it was difficult for parents to know what's really being taught. Can I opt out? Mm-hmm. Just by muddying the waters, it makes it harder for parents to be engaged. And it felt like, I mean, when we went from 12 pages of standards to 71, it felt kind of like an intentional effort to obfuscate things. Mm-hmm. And with this, it feels like the state board is, you know, confusing things by saying, oh, our constitution can't do this. I know they have great legal counsel. I don't really think that it's that the state board members don't understand the difference between public and private. So I have to ask myself, you know, why are they doing this? Right. And it seems like they keep interposing the authority of the state and what they view as the just authority of the state to direct and control the upbringing of children instead of parents. Mm. And I think that's the thing that I would hope the public and voters think about before they vote in this next election is, you know, am I voting for someone that really believes parents can make good decisions for their children? Mm-hmm. Or do we need to relegate all power to the state? And when we do that, we find ourselves really just opening a can of worms. And I think that mentality is so pervasive at the state right now.
Yeah.
Minus a couple board members that seem to act independently.
Sure. Yeah. And so much of the frustration, I feel like, is about the process itself. You know, even there, mm-hmm. I don't believe, and maybe they will, but we'll have public comment before this is accepted or voted on as a resolution. So I know I don't want to speak for you, but they really need to listen to Michigan parents and you know, carry out that constitutional duty.
I couldn't agree more. And I think even just to put, you know, to put their actual job description first, can we get back to the business of helping kids learn instead of playing politics? You know, what are the policies that are going to help local schools and local school boards educate kids so we have an informed citizenry and skilled workforce in the future? That's really what their job is. And we don't need them weighing in on these federal national issues.
Right.
This belongs to the governor and the legislature.
Right. Thank you, Catherine. Always great to talk with you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. You too.
God bless. All right. Hang with us. We'll be back for more on Focus with Paul W. Smith.